Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Get The Table, another wrestling roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, and the Dally Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamflett and Michael Sidgwick, here to discuss another burning wrestling issue. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions like this one, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett, Michael Sidgwick, and gents, we are gathered here today to talk about fallout from the Royal Rumble. And, should start off, first of all, by getting your thoughts on Saturday's premium live event.
All right, Keith Lee. Already, that nickname has eaten itself.
Yep.
Took two shows, didn't it?
It took one pronunciation.
Well, yeah. I don't know. The company most known for making bad wrestling shows made a bad wrestling show, ultimately. That was my main takeaway from the Royal Rumble. The format can't be killed, as evidenced by the 2010s attempts. And the fact that it survived and continues on and has good years, as it does sometimes, as it did last year, like in the Thunderdome of all places, shows that the format can't be killed. So one bad year is not going to destroy anything. There isn't that sense of finality or doom that often comes with a rubbish WWE show with a lot of lame, like non-events dressed up as happenings. But it did feel worse than I think a standard bad premium live event. There was for a building with 40,000 people in, for a show with, on paper, two significant winners and a couple of like sizable events, there was this strange malaise that hung over all of it. There was, you know, we're gonna go into the details of it, and you know, the Four Hamlet fans will forgive me. However, there was a lot of feeling that nobody is over, and This show, the Royal Rumble, best exemplifies this over the eras when nobody is really over because you have that many people entering. You know, like if you watch the Midnighters one when the business is in the bin, there's almost no characters that get pops on their entrances apart from maybe two or three. The 1999 Russo Royal Rumble definitively splits into, I think, about the first 16, 17 of nobodies until we get to the last 10 that are the stars. And it's because Russo couldn't really book and he was asked to try and control this thing that needs to be carefully poured over. This year you couldn't even really do that. It was maybe the last five in the men's Royal Rumble, but like you can't have 25 losers first. It just doesn't work. It just feels so lopsided. There was a whole night of just none of this is over. None of it really matters. Even the big stuff doesn't really matter. Even the big stars, even the returns, even the surprises. None of it matters. And did WWE even care? That's the thing. Like, I'm sitting here wanting to be sadder about that. I don't think they're too bothered that none of it really matters, but none of it does.
Yeah, I was sort of reflecting on this on Sunday, because obviously me and Phil did the live stream. We did the immediate recap, and it's always weirdly tainted when you do a stream, because regardless of what the show actually is genuinely like, we kind of have a good time.
Bloody love a stream, you.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to enjoy yourselves. There's no point, you know, moping about on that. And there was still elements to enjoying this. And I've got to disagree with, you know, I saw some people saying, oh, this is the worst Royal Rumble ever. It's not the worst Royal Rumble ever. There's been a lot worse, even in recent memory. But, I will, and I also will say, I don't really have that much of an issue with the two winners. Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey enter WrestleMania is something we will get onto. I think my issue, Sige, because I watched both of them back on Sunday, both Rumbles, is outside of a few spots, a few, you know, Bad Bunny or Ivory or whatever it may be, like Hamlet alluded to there, it was just quite dull, most of the Rumble matches, and then the title matches as well. Well, we'll get on to.
The Royal Rumble is meant to make you get unbelievably hyped for WrestleMania. I'm now sat here 2 days removed from the Royal Rumble, and I'm sick to death of talking about the Royal Rumble. Like, what a dull experience. Malaise is the perfect word. If I was a wrestling booker, right, or if I decided to do fantasy booking, if I gave half a toss about this company, and as I have done in the past, the best day of your job would be booking a Rumble. How much fun would it be to, like, tease fans on nostalgic cameos, to set in motion a WrestleMania mid-card program, to tell stories, to shock your base. Just the men's match in particular. I thought the women's match was sloppily worked and the most bizarre kind of fan service, where it's like, suddenly, by virtue of not existing in the system for a couple of months, a year, or years plural, they got initially, before they realized they can't work, what a waste of time, they got like big reactions. Like, the men's one just felt like a thing that you have to do because it's the Rumble. There was no creativity, no verve, no passion. This wasn't lovingly crafted in peak, trough, ebb, flow.
Who ran wild? Everybody came in and just found a corner.
Yeah.
Like, who ran wild? Who sort of took the moment?
Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny. Like, what a disaster that was, to think about the fact. Like, Bad Bunny, I don't know if you guys have done this. Like, I looked up what his tour looked like. And it wasn't just at where he is around WrestleMania, but it was around the fact that the prep that it would take somebody like a Bad Bunny to do. It's not going to happen. Like, he's got this, it's not a Jericho thing where he can fly in from a show and work a wrestling match because it's Chris Jericho. Bad Bunny would need presumably weeks and months to, you know, iron out the creases of a match or practice whatever it is he wants to practice. He's not a wrestler.
Shout out to Drew Gulak, by the way. He's the one who trained him for all of his spots in WWE. And
well, he's starting the Performance Center.
Well, yeah.
Evidently, he's not training in the Performance Center, or by the Performance Center, I should say.
Mm. There was no... It, like, the men's one almost felt like it had... Like, the nostalgia of the women's one at least drove certain moments of creativity in terms of some of the people they use. You had, like, Summer Rae staring down Natalya as if she'd waited 20 years for this moment. You had
or shouting F off as she ran down the
indeed. The really cool Ivory bit. And that was great. There was others.
Terrible. It was nice to see her, but in terms of delivering promos and comedy, it was appalling.
Yes, not good. But there was... Honestly, the Molly Holly spot was the spot of the whole night, I think.
Like, I've seen Phil's reaction. Oh my God.
I like the idea. I like the idea and the execution of that. But, and the thing with the Molly Holly one is, it's exactly what you would do if somebody said, oh, Mighty Molly's in the Rumble. It's like, well, there's another superhero on the roster, do something with that.
And he's turning.
He's turning, yeah. That's not even, that's to Sidgwick's point, that's the cool thing about being a booker on Rumble season is you can have about 50 or 60 ideas and the best 30 make the show. For example, because you come up with one idea for each single person. That clearly didn't happen. Like, they booked, in the men's match at very least, they booked a battle royal that happened to be following Royal Rumble rules. And it was it certainly it wasn't the worst, but it was one of the worst, I think, in that regard.
I feel like I'm repeating a lot of takes, but I do want to know your thoughts on what me and Phil ranted and me and Andy have talked about on the news as well. Excuse me for this, Sige, because I know it's a sore subject for you. Hamflet and I have gone on for a while about the Mysterios, Rey and Dominic, right? And I know we all have a lot of fun with it. But the fact they weren't even in the ring together...
Crazy, that, isn't it?
Same with, like, Aaliyah and Natalya.
Yeah.
They've done all this stuff on SmackDown. And I'm not saying it's got to be the main basis for the Rumble. But, like, we talked about this when we previewed it. The most obvious thing is, Natalya, I'm the record breaker. I'm a record breaker. Aaliyah, thorn in Natalya's side. Natalya comes in. Aaliyah eliminates her within 8 seconds, which is the record for shortest time. Continue, you know, passable TV record storyline going on with them two. And instead, Natalya came in. Aaliyah was stood in the ring. And I'm not blaming this on her, because we know that this has been changed a million times. And Vince has changed his mind a lot on the day, of course. Aaliyah stood in the ring and she goes, oh, I better go and just deal with, I don't know, Rhea Ripley or whatever. And it's Liv Morgan who fights Natalya for 30 seconds. And like you said, they just go to a corner.
So I have a live viewing example of this, right? So when Cameron, the Funkadactyl, was coming out of the ring and Sonya Deville's on commentary, and in my head I'm going, please, Sonya Deville, please say something like, oh, here's the, I always thought she was the more superior Funkadactyl. Please acknowledge this. Like, just shows that you're thinking of something. And then, in my opinion, they bettered that by having instead it be like Cameron and Naomi had always just stayed friends and she's attacking a mate and stuff like that. Really, really cool. And then, sure enough, when Naomi gets in the ring, it's one of the most heated and memorable segments of the match because it's one of the few things that actually observes something that's happened on television. That's how I want to watch a Royal Rumble. I want to be thinking, I'm just a little bit ahead of it because they've got these people in these positions because it's fake. It's not a shoot draw. Like, you put these things in place so that all these things can work out, and then sure enough, what they produce is better and the brawl is really heated, and it's one of the only times, up to that point at least, that the fans had made noise for an interaction in the match. And like, I'm loath to overpraise the basics when we talk about WWE, but that is, if you watch any old Royal Rumble, I mean, Christ, don't do that anymore because it'll ruin your experience of a modern one.
Yeah, I watched the 94 one, error.
When you watch an old one, that's a basic that virtually every single character is given. Like, everybody in the Royal Rumble has a purpose, even if it's just to be thrown out by a dominant wrestler. Like, we're days removed, and I can't name everybody in the ring that Omos was up against when Chad Gable like rallied the troops, because they didn't really like imbue them with any purpose beforehand. It didn't feel like I'd been watching these guys struggle to stay in, only for Omos to dominate them again. And it just, I don't know, like, it's that kind of, that's why I'm like loath to give them too much praise to the basics, because they didn't apply it throughout the night.
I wanted to know your thoughts, because you've already spoken about it on Twitter, but I'm sure the Cedric Mega fans will forgive you, to talk about what happened with Sarah Logan, Liv Morgan, and the Bella Twins.
Delectable cruelty is what happened to them. God damn it. Like, I'm surprised they even remember Sarah Logan exists. Sarah Logan enters the Rumble. She enjoys a tearful reunion with Liv Morgan, who, incidentally, they've just pushed and asked you over the course of about, what, 2-3 months to take seriously as someone who's orbiting the main event. He's not there yet, but she might. And then their happiness is completely dissolved when they are unceremoniously tossed out of the ring. Why boot that spot? If not to actively piss off, it's either the most hollow bit of fan service to an incredibly niche following. I can't recall the Riot Squad ever getting anything approaching a reaction in an arena. Correct me if I'm wrong. But, you know, online fans, everyone's got a fan. Everyone is a fan of something.
Mm.
And the same is true of the Riot Squad. There's probably as many Absolution fans.
Yeah.
And then they just get tossed out. Absolutely hilarious. Hello, before we move on reflection, I'm tempted to say this was possibly worse than 2015, because at least with 2015, there was an incredibly cynical and stupid attempt to get Roman Reigns over. It was completely historic, prehistoric storytelling. Roman Reigns faces a big guy, but wait, there's two big guys, Big Show and Kane. Isn't it mightily impressive for this powerful man to use babyface resolve to overcome two gigantic odds? It was a parody of 80s booking, but at least there was an attempt to do something. It failed dismally, infamously, we know this. This was simply, get the geeks out, let them do their stuff, and we're running short of time, so Brock can just kill everyone in 2 minutes flat, unceremoniously, anticlimactically. We need to get to this main event. This is the quickest way to do it. Not one attempt to build something for WrestleMania in the mid-card.
On the Riot Squad point, it does, it sort of folds into the, like, the problem with this mid-card and why there were so few reactions in the men's match, especially, I think. A big thing in the women's battle royal this year, because they've sacked half the roster, was the need for returning wrestlers. But, as Cedric points out, it didn't always feel like the Riot Squad were the biggest stars on any card. They had the odd good matches between them. But what the Riot Squad have
Evolution,
going for them,
I'll be nice.
Yeah, and like what the Riot Squad have going for them in terms of when you think of the online fan base, and this was really important in the Women's Royal Rumble, was like the member berries are not that diluted in the WWE Kool-Aid, ultimately. That's the crack. Like, it's often just a case of remember this. There's no particular story, there's no LTST, it's just remember it, have a look at it for a second. And they literally gave you a second to look at it before actual stars in WWE's mind pushed them out of the ring in the form of the Bella Twins. Or that was a very micro case of the thing we've seen for going on 15 years now of a star embarrassing somebody that is theoretically of today's crop in the case of Liv Morgan. But that practice over and over and over and over again results in you needing old stars for the Women's Rumble and nobody being over in the men's one. So it's just a small thing, but if you think, like, if you extrapolate that, it sort of directly affects the quality of both Rumbles as a result.
It's easy for me to be wise after the event, but it did hit me watching these Rumbles that, you know, we talked about before when we were previewing it, and we kind of all said, I'd have to come in here and be like, all right, Amphlett, well, if it's not Ronda and Brock winning the Royal Rumble and going to WrestleMania, who else could it be?
Ronda and Brock?
Yeah, and it hit me because the reason why people were tweeting on Saturday afternoon, like, the great thing about this year's Rumble is, if you take Ronda and Brock out of the picture, that was sort of the implied thing, he can't call it. It could be anyone's.
And then 29 over, full-time roster.
And I realised, yeah, the reason why you can't call it is there's no other standouts because everyone's on the most base level. Like, talked about E, I was campaigning for E to potentially win this. He got chucked out with no fanfare whatsoever. He got, he might have got more had Kofi's, you know, spot not gone awry, but regardless of that, he got a bit in there.
Do you know what? Just sorry to interrupt. On Big E, because I've seen that a lot, Big E getting thrown out with no fanfare. Sasha Banks, somebody else that got out, thrown out with relatively little fanfare early on.
Zelina eliminating her. Bold choice.
I think it's like these cases are being isolated because these are wrestlers that clearly deserve better and are beloved. And, you know, are the ones that seem to be deserving of the most. Almost nobody got eliminated with any fanfare. It's like, really, what happened was there were two Royal Rumbles where there were virtually no eliminations that were particularly memorable. It just so happens that you have your favourites. Like, I've got mine too. They isolate those as being particularly egregious. In reality, almost, like, nearly all of the Royal Rumble in both cases passed without incident. Eliminations included.
If you're going to ask me, aside from, like, you know, the final elimination, like, tell me who eliminated who or what the spot was. Gun to my head, I'd be like, right, the first three I'm picking are Ivory, because I remember that one, Knoxville and Bad Bunny.
That's a great point from Hamflet, because when you eliminate someone who's over, who potentially stood a chance of winning, it registers as a shock because you're thinking, oh, Christ, well, that, you know, that informs the finish. That is something I didn't expect to happen. And they're all just grey lumps of trash in the minds of the booking. Not in mine. I have my favourites too. I have several people across both fields where I think, you'd be a star somewhere else. You'd be a star if I wasn't a 76-year-old idiot with a fading mind booking you into normalised oblivion. But, yeah, like, he's gone. I'm going to win. It's not over.
Yeah,
no one reacted.
29 shrugs in each match and a winner.
I just that was the point I was circling back to in terms of the, if not Ronda or Brock, who else? It would have been, I mean, more than just a rocket being strapped to the back. It's like, dig them out of the ground and then strap them to a rocket, because no one was, like, the perfect personification I thought of this was, I saw, you know, Ronda comes out at 28, and I'm happy Ronda's won. I know that, and I've seen subsequent to your tweets as well, that, you know, people can not be a fan of Ronda for many reasons, not just wrestling related, and a lot of them are quite justified. But there was a not great, but sadistically great shot. Ronda comes out, clears house, right? 29's counting down. Now, to be fair, you know, this guy's probably like me. I was watching the stream going, oh, who could it be? Who could it be? And if you've actually kept track of who they've announced, you go, well, it has to be this because it's, you know, you've got one more spot left after this. Counting down, and I just saw a guy on the front row as they pan the crowd going, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. This guy's like nudging his mate going, Bailey, it's going to be Bailey. And like, it's not her fault, but it was Shotzi. At 29, yeah. Already announced, yeah. But it is just, and everyone's just like, huh, well, maybe we'll get someone we like at 30 as a surprise at 30. It was just.
It was also Shayna Baszler pre-announced. So the last two were pre-announced. So there was no, if you actually had the list in front of you, there was no room for a surprise at that point. That was, which I didn't, but I was long past the point of assuming. I actually had forgotten about Baszler, but I thought that Bailey's not anywhere near. They're not bothering, they'll save that for another day. And I thought it might be Asuka. I thought they'd be happy to sacrifice Asuka at the Ronda Rousey cause, and it wasn't even that. It was Shayna Baszler. I think I keep saying in the case of both Rumbles, because there was a lot of similar problems, but I keep sort of circling back to thinking, this was definitely more of a men's Rumble issue than the women's one, because they were, just because of the layout of the competitors was so different, it felt, the men's Royal Rumble felt like a genuine attempt to show you what the WWE roster looks like in 20. They can't do that with the women's one, but that was an attempt to show you what 2022 WWE is, should I say. I don't want to watch that. And 40,000 people, for the most part, agreed as well, you know? And it's so telling. So much about the show is so incredibly telling of the stuff that we already know, sadly, like what WWE is, what it stands for, what it isn't, which is a wrestling show, which is a focused weekly episodic wrestling show. Yeah, the Rumble remains this thing that, and it'll be the same next year when we're doing the preview stuff for it. It remains kind of an escape from what WWE is. And you're in this escape watching Raw and SmackDown. Oh, God. This is the stuff I'm supposed to escape from.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Let's talk about the men's Rumble quickly, Sidge, because because I want to focus on one particular surprise entrant who really boiled my piss. Because going into it, I think we had 25 names announced from Raw, SmackDown, and Jackass, basically. And we got Ridge Bloody Holland. That was a surprise. I'm fairly certain he wasn't announced. A returning Drew McIntyre. That was nice. Mm. I mean, it's...
I told you 2020 didn't matter at all.
Yeah. And also, I'm not a fan of losing someone in December and then being like, hey, they're back. It's like, there's a month gone by, pal. Like,
just imagine how gutsy
now.
It was
less than that, wasn't it? It was day one, wasn't it, that it all went down. So
yeah, you missed the Corbin match, didn't you? The Madcap Moss match. Yeah. Just imagine how gutsy it would feel now to be talking about this today, having Drew eliminated. Like, that shouldn't be such a gutsy thing. No. Drew McIntyre was your WWE champion in one of the hardest periods in the company's history. And did a pretty good job with it and managed to sustain a certain cool factor despite becoming the game show host. And yet, for us to talk about like Drew winning is like suggesting, the rest of the whole show with the ring upside down. It's that wacky a suggestion to imagine that he might have thrown out Brock at the end when might have been the wiser move. Like long term, it might have been the much wiser move.
So they only had 5 spots for potential surprises. Ridge, Drew, Brock at number 30, which we all kind of assumed. Bad Bunny, which admittedly was a nice touch. And Shane McMahon, Sage.
Yeah, Shane McMahon's the WrestleMania headliner. Shane McMahon's one of the biggest stars in the company.
Always on the board. Shane's name. Shane's always on the board early.
I mean, you summed it up perfectly, I thought, in the news yesterday when you just said, this is the way it is. Because I'm still angry. I got angry at the time. I got angry on what went down. I got angry on our podcast. I got angry talking to Ana Luisa about it. I got angry, even angrier somehow on the news this morning about it. It comes in waves, my hatred of Shane McMahon. Because I recap not only the storied history of Shane McMahon and WrestleMania and coming in for one big show or maybe a couple and going, well, I'll take a really big bump because I can rest up and recover for the 9 months afterwards, not having to go to, you know, Wichita County or some bollock, I don't know, wherever it is. Right, no offence to if anyone...
Wichita Falls?
I don't know, I've just merged multiple
Wichita.
It's that song, Wichita Lineman, and he sings, I'm the lineman of the county.
It's not only that, not only the temerity to be like, guys, look, Shane's back, which I popped for. I'll hold my hands up. When he came back...
You're an idiot then.
No, when he... Let me finish. When he came back to interrupt Stephanie McMahon...
You're an idiot then.
I popped, and little, I regret that
little
now.
Little bastard, man.
He tricked us all.
Does 20,000 buying tickets in Dallas.
Gorgeous Adam Nicholas. Thinking,
he did.
Guys, I think WrestleMania's good now.
WrestleMania's here. Back.
Right? He comes out, and I already was really angry at that, because I was like, well, that's got to be the... Because I already knew... Well, we've not got Randy. So there's 29, 30 Brock. So this is your last chance. And I couldn't work out if there's anyone else left. But here's music. And I was like, he comes out. He eliminates Kevin Owens after just no-selling like super kicks, effectively. He outstrikes Matt Riddle, former UFC fighter.
You Shane McMahon. It's hard.
And then he can't even get eliminated properly by Brock. Come
he's
on.
He's blowing out his ass.
Love the Shane noise. I love the knackered Shane noise.
I mean, given how much he sweats and how out of puff he's been since 2016, I think Shane McMahon was patient zero for the Rona. he's just had it for years. He's never got over it.
I mean, these people say, like, oh, you Sid, you always get so wound up by WWE. You don't. I do. You just let it wash over you now.
It's just a thing that happens. It's a thing that if I didn't have this job, I wouldn't even... whenever people have dark periods, to this day, I have mates who don't watch this. And every now and then, they'll go on their old wrestling news site or whatever. Just funny, isn't it? Fascinating what goes on. It's a pretty fascinating industry. I don't think I'd even do anything like that anymore. It's incapable of being good.
You have to try and remember Twitter's, like, discourse moves at such a rate that like there'll be two or three separate conversations in a day that take place on like in our little corner of Twitter, and you have to try and remember the big ones for months, weeks, days later when you were right, because some of us are old enough to always end up being right. Not to be arrogant about it, but I sound like a massive dickhead, but we always end up being right. You just have to like remember it long enough. The discourse around Kevin Owens signing for WWE and a bunch of odd people being like, don't care why people are so helped by this guy wanting to feed his family, Jesus Christ. And it's like, well, you're the same person now whinging that he's just been eliminated by Shane McMahon. I'm not sitting here whinging because that's what he signed a contract for. He signed a contract to take bumps off the boss's son, and maybe I wish he'd gone to AEW and then he would have done something else for his money. But they're the dickheads that give you grief for it, for saying, a bit weird, he just wants his kids to have a good life and you're being critical of it, are you? All right. Catch me up in 2 weeks when he gets eliminated by Shane McMahon. This is why. Like, this is always the way. Like,
How do you feel when Shane McMahon came out?
Nothing. I felt nothing. I didn't pop. I wasn't angry. Do you know what, right? If Sean Waltman hadn't just worked the GCW show and Shane McMahon runs in there, I'd have been waiting for Waltman to be a surprise entrant, and then you get a bit of X-Pac Shane McMahon nostalgia and he absolutely kicks his head off with one of them roundhouses. Also, you know, and even if Shane gets the win at the end and eliminates him or something.
A Knoxville-esque forearm, something like that.
Yeah, well,
Jesus Christ.
Johnny Knoxville was great, by the way. Johnny Knoxville was really good. So much better value than half of the field. I felt absolutely nothing for Shane McMahon. Partly because I was incapable of feeling anything that late in the Rumble. It was a deadening experience, that Royal Rumble. It was very second hour on the Raw review, and we've already done the 5-star review. was the Raw Rumble men's match. Honestly, I was a bit of a humble brag incoming. I was watching the men's Raw Rumble at the gym, right? And I was having a good run on the treadmill, flipping between the treadmill and the cross trainer, and I found the men's Rumble such harder work than the women's one because those 2 minutes felt like five each time. I was thinking, this is really cool because I get to get excited again in just like 1 minute, 50 seconds. I get another, and the men's Rumble wasn't even an hour. I put the clock thing up And there was, because I was watching it delayed for the first time in ages. Guys, I've unlocked the way to actually enjoy WWE pay-per-views. It's only taken me 5 years of watching them live every week for work to be like, oh, actually, just watch them a day later and avoid spoilers. There was 56 minutes left or something as AJ Styles was making his entrance. And I was rubbing my hands together, thinking, this is great. It's not even going to go the full hour. And every single interact, like somebody comes down, nothing happens. 2 minutes feels like five. Another guy comes in, nothing happens. Over and over and over again. So thoughtless.
On a sweeping broader level, not that WWE would ever listen to this or even just do it by their own doing, it's a relic, the Royal Rumble match. The reason why they go to the corner is because they just want to focus on whoever comes in, does some spots and whatever. The whole very slowly trying to get someone over the top rope, it's because they either had a steroid freak or a fat tub of goo to try and lift up over it. So you have to do this really attritional, like, oh, get over the rope. There's no one like that anymore. Oh, no. Let's get Dominic over there. It's easy. They should reinvent the very way in which the match has worked in line with how athletic and exciting the modern pro wrestler tends to be. It's just an absolute relic. And they can still do a good one, even if I think that it should be modernized in terms of the content. But we've seen it's like 2018 was fantastic. 2020 was really good as well.
The Women's Rumble last year, in the Thunderdome of all places. Book. That's what you need to do is book. Bianca Belair, 47 minutes, one elimination. Liv Morgan, 37 minutes, zero eliminations. That's not booking. Like,
everything comes down yet again to the whole thing sucked.
And
if
also,
if it didn't suck and you had loads of over talent that people were interested in, right, it would be great. And you would, like, and if you told stories and had your performers interact, your characters interact, and you remember those interactions, AEW does a Royal Rumble, right? MJF Wardlow 1 and 2. Instantly, it's 3 stars better than this one, right? Malakai Black, CM Punk, FTR. Let's do, like, you give an AEW roster name and then you.
John Silver comes out.
Dante Martin.
Andrade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Powerhouse House, Ricky Starks, Dante Martin, Hook.
Oh.
Yeah, and as well, you don't
Brian need Danielson, Hangman Page, John Moxley, Eddie Kingston.
You don't even need
Chris Jericho, even.
Like, what we're doing is, like, the point here is that most characters in AEW are over to a degree. Some more than others, but most are over. You know, they will have a vocal fan base in the building. You don't even need every character to be over. You just need, like, several decent ones and ideally, like, a few massive stars. The booking of, like, how impeccably WWE managed the Brock Lesnar story in 2020 isn't just a credit to them. It's a credit to the star power of Brock Lesnar and their ability to identify a few internet favorites, a few NXT call-ups, a couple of big guys. You know, like, there was, when we, like, heaped praise in that Rumble as we did at the time, it was the work that was put in. You could feel the work was done to time out every one of them eliminations so that, like, you had the most pain at watching yet another one of your favorites, or like Keith Lee has to come in here because Brock needs to be this tired, or Braun Strowman, who's been kind of like destroyed by Brock needs to be pretty knackered, but he's to feel that suddenly he's a threat. The New Day, like, Kofi Kingston gets this massive reaction, but like Kofi and Big E have to be there together because they're a stronger force as friends than they would be separately, as we've seen when he just flattened Kofi King. Like, all of these little details, like, showed the thought, but Brock was the star. So even if, like, you had, like, some, MVP return and John Morrison, like, return for novelty pops. Mm. You were never going to believe that they were going to eliminate Brock Lesnar, but they were a novelty, and he was a star, and thus you were... Shelton Benjamin was the one, wasn't it? It was like, oh, the old Minnesota Wrecking Crew back together. Shelton's going to die. Like, but because Brock's this massive star, and you can do a tiny little thing with this little detail between them, there was none of that because there was nowhere near the amounts of stars until, what, maybe the very last 5 minutes of the match? Mm. Like, what if Orton...
AJ Styles was in it?
AJ Styles was number one and did nothing, like, outside of the forearm to Omos. Mm. Like, that was quite... That Shawn Michaels, Diesel callback was quite nice, but their feud's over rather than just beginning. Yeah. So that's backward. Could you have not given hometown favourite Randy Orton longer in a match because people were clearly behind him? And how many, like how much sympathy do you draw from potentially eliminating the hometown favourite and then Riddle comes in later and saves him, and then you get those pops all over again, and that's just
and
off,
the
that's of, just off the top of my head, and there was millions more like it.
Riddle and Randy, and also their over reliance. I want to talk about some of the bits before we fix the Royal Rumble, or at least attempt to. The over reliance on something you always talk about, which is the fear. The women's match personified that. Ronda Rousey, I wanted to win. I'm happy she won, like I say. But the fact it was the last two was her and Charlotte. And I know why they're doing that, because guess where they're heading? As much as we want to see Ronda and Becky at WrestleMania, I don't think it's happening personally. But the fact it was Charlotte and Ronda, even Anne-Louise, and Anne-Louise, you know, is a casual wrestling fan. She sat there, gets, I can't remember who was the 28th elimination, Baszler, wasn't it? It was Baszler and like Bianca Belair chucked around at the same time. Right? And I went, oh, who's your money on? And she went, it was obviously Ronda. Like, Charlotte's already got the title. And I went, yeah, but Charlotte said if she wins, she'll pick her opponent for WrestleMania. And she went, why would they do that? That's stupid. It was just like, but it's the fear, like you always talk about, of, well, it could be this person to win. And then when they don't win, now you can cheer the person who's won it.
Well, I feel nothing. I didn't feel any anxiety.
But I hate their reliance upon that. You always talked about that.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It'd be better if it was like, it's really naive idiot who's just suddenly bought WWE from Vince. It's a really rich idiot who's just got a fortune somehow.
Elon Musk or someone.
Yeah, he just books WWE. He doesn't have a clue what he's doing. It's like Tommy Wiseau. Just this complete moron. Doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh, hi, Max.
Yeah, hi, Max. And you get this blithering idiot, this hayseed, this Dixie, just booking something. And he hasn't got a clue what he's doing. And then you just get good chaos, like, doing there. It's funny and it's weird and it makes no sense and I can enjoy it. They know how bad they are. They literally presented a stable called The Authority in which they acknowledged how terribly they are perceived, and halfway through the storyline they were like, oh, I'm pretty good actually. I think we're quite right. Like, they know what you think and they do not care.
We will talk about fixing the Royal Rumble in a second, and I don't want to go through.
I'm getting a bit hungry here.
I don't want to go through all the matches. I thought Edge and Beth Phoenix and the Miz and Maurice was fine. It was a perfectly fine TV match in my opinion. Lashley Lesnar is one thing, interference etc. But it felt like, and Becky Lynch tried their best, but the crowd was dead, and the crowd didn't know it was a cheer anyway. But they worked well together. But it felt like the dumpster fire started with a match that was going brilliantly, yet again, till the finish. I'm talking about Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
WWE transfer deadline day for a second, don't worry.
WWE insists you hate it. Even if you want to like it, and even if for a second it gives you a reason to like it, it insists you hate it. That can be the only explanation for that finish. Need to understand better the younger WWE fans who got into this long after I did, and have their foundational enjoyment of WWE is rooted in a very different WWE to my foundational enjoyment. For the ones who would be able to see this, like, yeah, but the disqualification carries the story on. That means we get it again at Elimination Chamber. And I wish I could understand and get in the heads of the people that think that's a good thing rather than what we were served. Because that first 5 minutes, I'm not just saying this because we booked it, of Seth coming out full Shield and being himself in the Shield guys in order to kind of like stay, not just get in Roman's head, which he'd already done, but stay there and win the title like that, was absolutely tremendous. And it wasn't just that, by the way. So it was far from just Royal Rumble season cosplay. You know, he was a blonde streak short of probably winning that Universal title on psychology alone. Mm. Really, really great. Like, applied it to the physical side of the match. Rolled through the Phoenix splash, because not only was he showing that he could roll out the old Seth, but he was even better than the old Seth. It's like, if I miss this now, it's not the end of the world, because I can actually roll through it and survive it. Everything they were doing was hitting. The fans were banging into it. Was it the one that ended in the curb stomp? The Booker bombing at the curb stomp near fall was absolutely tremendous. They had that storyline had no right to get a bite on a kick out. Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, and they got
great kick out from Roman, by the way.
And they got one. Like, really, really tremendous. Fans were with it. Just the vibe was good. The energy was really good. And then you could tell almost, it was as if, honestly, somebody stopped the match midway through and be like, right, you're getting ready for the fuckery because it's coming. Like, you could see the way the match was changing. Roman Reigns started acting, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I know where this is going. Like, what's the... disqualified for kicking ass. You could just see there's a point in the match where you can see that's where it's going to go, and there's no way back. And maybe that's not the same experience for everybody, but it's like, yeah, you're enjoyment of this, your investment is going to be limited because it just feels like it's going to hit this finish, and it did, and you don't want it to. You want it to live beyond your low expectations. And that was my takeaway from that match, and they weren't ever going to, like, they had loads of chances to recover. It's a Royal Rumble, there's two Battle Royals, but there was an energy that was lost that they weren't going to get back as a result of kind of sacrificing the 5 minutes to knowing what they're far more comfortable with, which is acting and DQ finishes. Not just Roman, Seth was guilty of it as well.
Rangers are most strongly linked with Aaron Ramsey's return to the UK. Yeah, I don't care about it. WWE makes content increasingly impossible. If there's a reason why we've lost track of jokes we were doing last year on the Raw podcast and we've got new ones now, it's because talking about this earnestly is impossible. It's becoming a real goddamn problem for content creators, for fans, for the members of the roster, because there's widespread reports of total and utter disillusionment. Even like Kofi Kingston, who's one of the guys on the tab of Nick Khan's spreadsheet, as Hampler puts it. He was just completely safe. The New Day are completely safe. He was talking about the disappointment he had with the Ali match. That didn't happen last year. And he was like, it's just disappointment is par for the course here. It's just how it goes. Like,
was it Big E said that a recent WWE champion has said was the effect of, you're honestly, like, I wasn't through the curtain yet. You know, I hadn't scored a fall because you'll get, like, a message to the referee and say, we're doing it this way instead. And, like, that's what the belt needs to be in your hand before you can actually say, even if you've been told that day, you know, he was tweeting out that he was going to cash in or whatever it was. Experiences like that, it is going to make people disillusioned, isn't it? And that's going to come through the screen as well. It's too interactive a product to not. We've danced all over the card, so can I just have a minute on the Becky Lynch Doudrop match?
Yeah.
Because we've been full of praise for Becky Lynch's work since coming back as a heel. I think she's looking far more intelligent as a wrestler in the ring than maybe she ever has. I was never a huge fan of Becky Lynch's in the ring, just my personal taste, but I loved the man character so much that if anything, there was sometimes a bit of a dissonance between the way she worked and this character that I just really, compared to the, she always had the Steve Austin comparison. He worked to that character so well when he locked into it, whereas Becky Lynch never really did for me. Contrast that to how she wrestles as Big Time Bex. I think they're so much tighter. Like, there's so much more. There's such a clearer link to me between how she wrestles and the character she now plays, save for yet more of the acting. Like, what, three Ruby Soho gifts in this one match from Becky Lynch? No, 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 no. One. No, 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 two. Like, they're awful. However, the sign was on fire, which I didn't realise watching the pay-per-view. And that's the thing, right? So, like, I would have known that if I'd have been watching live, and that would have been as detracting to me as it was to people in the building. I didn't know that watching live. So all I knew was that the fans were pretty bored by this. And I thought, well, yes, they've had to follow a Royal Rumble. Not easy. Something has to on this card now. And that's always going to be a tough spot. But also, like, the reaction isn't what the wrestlers deserve. The reaction is what WWE deserves for asking you to accept a babyface turn after 2 or 3 weeks of, dude, was it even a turn? Not really, but, like, accept somebody being a babyface in this match.
Lesser of two evils.
A lesser of two evils match, yeah, that's a great way of putting it. And just, like, I don't know, the idea that Doudrop was going to win was poo-pooed by Lynch herself repeatedly on television. So not only are you kind of being asked to take this challenger as suddenly the one you're rooting for, but the company's outright told you that she's not going to win. So sit and watch how she nearly wins. Like, enjoy how close she comes in this defeat. You wouldn't, like, again, this conversation is rapidly going to change over the years. Technically, right now, we all support crap football teams. We know this, and yet don't go paying to see the defeat. You go paying to see that they might actually win.
Bridge.
Yeah. But, like, typically, you don't pay your money, yes, and cheer knowing the defeat is coming. It's the hope that eventually kills you. Like, the finish was tremendous. Like, I was reminded of Bayley beating Nia Jax with the top rope, the second rope, belly to belly, because you got to do something else other than the usual to get it done. Like, I like that they had that. I like that they used Doudrop's size for the slow motion replays mid-match, because everything Doudrop doing, like, had all this awesome impact when you slow it right down. You see what Becky is having to endure in this against a different opponent that she's not trapped with enough respect. So much about this could have and would have worked, but this company can't book. So it's always, it comes to the Rumbles, it comes to the undercard, it comes to the Seth Roman disqualification. They cannot book, so they can't do anything right, and nothing will ever feel right as a result.
They can't book. That's why you get nights like this.
How do we fix it then? How do we fix the Royal Rumble?
Sell it to Disney? Even then, it will never be a pro wrestling company ever again. It might become a competent content creation company. Because if you look at everything, it's all franchises. And like, I was writing about this in an article, so the mega fans will forgive me for repeating this analogy, right? But Boba Fett was like a really fondly remembered side character in the Star Wars universe. And he had a cool helmet. And he's like, oh, he's cooler than, you know, Yoda. I like Yoda well enough, but he's not cool. Like, Boba Fett was like, Star Wars is lame. It is. I'm sorry. I like the original. I like the original trilogy. Fine enough. Could go my entire life. I'm not a Star Wars guy, but like it's considered. I'm sorry, Star Wars fans. It's kind of considered dorky, right? Mm. I think anyone in their right mind would look at the actual aesthetic of Boba Fett, know what his character is, and think it's legitimately an objectively cool design, like a badass side character, right? Memories of Boba Fett have prevailed over the years. He is known. Acknowledge me. He's like, I'm the cool guy in Star Wars. He's on the head of the table. I'm the one. Guys, really cool. So what's happened is Disney have realized people really like from Boba Fett. How can we extract the most obvious fan service juice from this fruit of the franchise? Give him longer than it was ever conceived he would have screen time wise, and build a limited prestige television series around this character who in fact died. But he's back alive because it's easier to tell the story. Right?
Space.
WWE might one day, you know, if the worst happens, become that, right? And they'll think...
What do you mean by worst?
They might just become this ridiculously transparent, shallow, retconned fan service company where they make you happy all the time. And then you kind of fix it because you are in tune with what the fan wants and you just do endless content. It'll never feel premium, special, ever again until this whole paradigm completely breaks away completely. That's how you save the Royal Rumble. You wait until new owners are in place. You realize, hang on, it's probably a better idea to make these fans happy, is it not? And then you do a lot of things, way too much, completely saturated content, with the idea of these little seals who consume this product might want a good one and they might want lots of it. Until that day comes.
I use this example quite a lot on the podcast. So my kids are now 9 and 6 and I would love them, more than just convenience reasons, but I would love them when I'm trying to watch wrestling early in the morning, I would love them to love wrestling because of a lot of nice memories I've had from being a wrestling fan virtually all my life. As a result, find myself often comparing it to everything else they watch or everything else they consume to try and see maybe WWE specifically, AEW, an interesting one maybe when they get a bit older, WWE, where it might be going wrong. And there is, it's when anybody mentions like them being on Disney or Netflix buying it. I know for a fact that those enormous companies that care so little for the real dense quality but just need big picture quality would do a better job than Vince McMahon. Like, I know this to be true. The floor is lava. Right, I'm pulling this out of my arse. If the analogy goes wrong, I do apologize. Right, if on the floor is lava, which my kids like, anybody that hasn't seen it, it's a room that looks like any room, but the floor's lava, right? And it's not, spoiler, it's not real lava. But the peril is that you fall in the lava, you see the member of the team disappear in the lava.
Slow-mo
oh no, they're falling in the lava, right? Booked by Vince McMahon currently, like the lava would suddenly become solid and the person would be like, actually, I'm all right. And then they would break away because they're super strong and the lava's a bitch, right? And then they'd use their muscles and flex and then lava would break and they'd get back on the platform. And my kids would then be like, well, I don't want to watch that anymore because the magic of this is that they might fall in the lava. If they get to the other end, that's really cool. Like, I didn't think they would do that because the floor's lava, but they've gotten out the lava. I don't want to watch it anymore. Like, the floor's lava for a bit and then suddenly it's not and then it gets back up and there's no prize. Like, that's how Vince McMahon would book the floor as lava. The floor would no longer be lava because you didn't see it coming. You know? Like, oh, they already know the floor's lava. Give me the floors. The floor's a floor.
Whenever my son catches me watching wrestling, and I use that specific phrase on
We've purpose. Skipped, the generation has skipped us. Our parents used to catch us watching wrestling, and now our kids do.
Catches me watching wrestling. If the kid is 6 years old, a lot of six-year-old kids are 6 years old. And they understand. It's an incredibly simplistic, moralistic framework, and they apply it to life. Who's the goodie, who's the baddie? I want to finish this now. I'm really hungry, and I'm worried about the list I'm writing. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
A rant. Very loose and long rant. Who's the goodie and who's the baddie? Well, Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns having the big match at WrestleMania, James, if you're interested in that. Who's the goodie and who's the baddie? Well, Roman Reigns is the baddie. He's just screwed a goodie, I think, out of a title match and realigned with his baddie of a manager. And but what about Brock Lesnar? Oh, well, Brock Lesnar's thrown out the hometown guy from the Royal Rumble. He's just sort of been entitled to a spot in this match in the first place. And, yeah. So he's not really a good guy.
It's true. It's really, like this this babyface heel thing, it's sometimes less than ideal in AEW. It's outright impossible in WWE. It is impossible. Like, I think it was the example I had last year with that exact same thing was, I think it was Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. Mm. And again, caught watching. Where the f- do I start with this? Like, I am astonished that this finds new viewers. We know from the demo it's not finding many, but I'm astonished this finds new viewers because I cannot fathom. Like, I see a lot of good quality kids' television and films, and this isn't even bad kids' telly. Like, I'd rather sit through another Clifford the Big Red Dog than sit these two through a Royal Rumble and try and explain the character alignments of all the characters. The dog is big and red and called Clifford. Like, if WWE was even half as clear in defining any of its characters, it might stand a chance of being fixed. It's not getting fixed.
Clifford
the Big Red Dog's got more chance of getting fixed Clifford than his bollocks are massive.
Clifford the Big Red Dog, of course, seemed to be drafted to SmackDown. Right, let us know your thoughts on the Royal Rumble, though, on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at...
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Our review of AEW Rampage is available right now. And our preview of Monday Night Raw is going a little bit later
on. Just happened. Replay that for the next 52 weeks.
And who knows, maybe we'll be back to try and fix the Royal Rumble when the dust has settled a little bit more. We'll wait and see on that one. But for now, this has been Get the Table. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.